Good morning again. Good morning again. Ooh. Change my heart, Lord. Isn't that what it's all about? From the mouths of babes. Change my heart, Lord. You know, a lot of us, we try to do the right thing, right? We say, God, don't let me steal. I'm trying, and I'm praying not to steal, and I'm praying not to pick up them pencils, and I'm praying not to take that money that doesn't belong to me, right? I'm praying to do the right thing, God. But you see, and we try. Okay, I'm not going to do it. I'm talking about guys, because I know you females, you don't do this. God, don't make me look, right? But you see, doing is one thing, right? But reality is that what we need God to do is to change the heart, change the desire. That's where we need to work on, right? Changing that desire. God, this desire I have for this forbidden thing, change that. Take it away. Once that's done, you're free. The chains, the shackles, the chains are broken, right? The song, what's that song? Chains Falling. Break Every Chain. Do you all know that song? We need to sing that sometime. Break Every Chain, right? So beautiful. Thank you. The scripture for today comes from the book of Joshua. Joshua verse chapter 24 and verse 13 to 14. One of the nice things about having people read the scripture for me is I don't have good eyes, people. When you get to my age, you know, you're going to understand, right? And I have to strain now to read, but it's okay. I'll read. I think I remember most of it, right? Verse 13 says, "So I gave you a land to which you did not toil, and cities you did not build." Now he's speaking here to the children of Israel. "And you live in them and eat from vineyards and olive groves, and you didn't even plant these things." What's up with that? You know, here's Israel just coming in and possessing the land, no work done, but God blessed them. Sometimes I wonder when I see things like this, are we really supposed to work? Because God provides, right? I don't know. I'm not saying don't work, people. I'm just wondering, right? And he says, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness." He said, "Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the God your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living." I don't know, things just cross my mind, you know. "But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Amen. God bless the scripture reading for this morning. Lord God, our mighty Father in heaven, in the name of your Son, Jesus, the wonderful Christ, thank you, God, for this opportunity, this privilege that you've given to us to come and sit before your throne. God, we know we don't deserve it. We know, great God in heaven, that we were born in sin and we lived in sin, and it is only because of your grace towards us, Father, only because of your love towards us that you have given us this opportunity through the death of your Son, him paying, Father, the price for our sins, that we have this chance to come before you and to listen to you, Father. So we thank you for this. We pray, great God in heaven, that Holy Spirit will be at work, that you would open up our hearts and minds to receive your word. And great God, put me out of the way. It's not about me, but just use me as the conduit, great God in heaven. Here I am. Use me. Thank you, great God in heaven. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Kids, you like stories, right? You all want to hear a story? I got a story for you, okay? Once upon a time, there was a gardener. And this gardener, he went out into the deserts. And he took a vast piece of land, and he was looking upon it one day, and he said, "I could make something out of this." And there began his work. He toiled, and he created a beautiful, beautiful garden that no one else can ever replicate. Every type of tree. What types of trees do you like? Do you like apple trees, oak trees, mangoes? Oh, I love mangoes. Maple, okay. Maples and cherries and lemon and pears. All of those trees were in this garden. And God created those also. I just give up the story anyway. Right? So the gardener kids, he put all of these trees in the garden. Right? All animals that he can find, he put them into this garden. And this garden was so beautiful. And one day he sat and he was looking at it and he says, yeah, that's good. And he enjoyed the garden and he loved this garden so much. And he loved looking at it. He gained satisfaction from looking at it. But then he was looking at the garden and he says, you know what? I got to share this with someone. I got to share this with someone. You know, it's kind of like going on a vacation and you're by yourself. I don't know. That's kind of strange to me because you got to share these opportunities with people. So this gardener, he went out and he brought into the garden two people to share it with. And these people, they sat into the garden and they started to enjoy the garden. So the gardener said, okay, here's what we're going to do. Everything in the garden you have free reign of. I mean, that maple tree, you can go sit under that maple tree and you could enjoy the shade that comes from it. The pear tree, you can go under that pear tree and you can pick as many pears as you want. And you can just eat all them things. The cherry tree you liked, right? You can, oh, I'm sorry. You will like cherry. What did you like? Lemon. You exactly. You could make all the lemonade you want, girl. Right? And that cherry tree, you can pick as much from that cherry tree as you want. And he says, listen, but anything that you want in the garden, you can have. But you see right here? You see this tree? That's a special tree. Right? I don't want you because I know what's good for you. If you take from this tree, you're not going to enjoy it. You're not going to have a good life. So even in the beginning, we had a choice, right? In the beginning, the first individuals on this earth had a choice. Because we look and see what God has done for these two people in the garden. Who were the two people in the garden? Adam and Eve. I thought I was telling you all a story you didn't know. You're smart, right? Even the individuals in the garden, Adam and Eve, they knew that they had a choice. Right? Choose this or choose that. But what happens now is that as individuals, we have the same choices, right? And God said, actually, where are my notes? I need my notes, right? The individuals in the garden, they had the same choices as we did. Because when we look at all that God had done for Adam and Eve, right? Protected them, provided, right? Everything that he did, and now God left, and Adam and Eve were there, and what happened? Who came? Who came to Adam and Eve?
Yeah.
The serpent. The serpent, right. The serpent came to Adam and Eve, and what did the serpent say? You want to come up? Come. We're going to have some Sunday school up inside here. Come some right here. Tell everyone what the serpent told Adam and Eve.
The serpent told Adam and Eve to, if it really happened, they got really tell them, and then they got distracted, then they ate the food.
So this serpent, he was in the garden, right?
Yes.
And what did God tell Adam and Eve?
They told them not to eat the fruit.
You know what? You need to hold it closer.
They told them not to eat the fruit.
But then the serpent says, oh, you can eat the fruit. I mean, ain't no big deal, right? Everybody's doing it, right? But isn't that, you all hear that sometimes? Everybody's doing it. Oh, that's a lion, everybody doing it, right? So then, what did they do? They ate the fruit, correct?
Yes.
All right. Should they have eaten the fruit? Why?
Because that's how they got kicked out the garden.
Oh. Thank you. Thank you. I don't think I could have put it better than that. They got kicked out. Okay? They got kicked out of the garden because they ate the fruit. Right? Choices. After all the things God did for them, they chose Satan. Right? Interesting, isn't it? Right? I want to go back to verse 15. But before I do that, let me paint the picture here. Now, in the scripture that we just read in Joshua, Joshua is the one who's speaking to Israel. And if you remember, Israel came into the new land, remember that? And they did their own thing, remember that? And what happens now is that Joshua now is trying to bring the people back to God. He did a rededication. And during that, I'll call it a ceremony, rededication ceremony, there were certain things that Joshua reminded Israel about. In verse 3, he says, I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the river. You remember the river Euphrates? Abraham was in the country of Ur, and God said, okay, come, follow me. What did Abraham say? Basically, how high? God says jump, he says how high, right? He says, I sent Moses and Aaron, and I afflicted the Egyptians. Now, look at this. Children of Israel coming out of Egypt, right, being chased by Egyptians. Kind of scary, right? Faced with certain death, right? Kind of scary. Then he says that he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and he brought the sea over them and covered them. God's divine protection over Israel. I brought you to the land of the Amorites who lived east of the Jordan. They fought against you, and I gave them into your hands. Again, God's divine protection. I destroyed them from before you. Then we had Balaam, who was trying to cast prophecies against Israel. He said that I would not let him do so, right? But instead, his cursings turned to blessings. I mean, you don't come up against God's people, right? Bad things happen to you when you come up against God's people. I delivered you out of his hand. So continually we see God delivering Israel. Even while walking through the wilderness, we see God continually providing for them. Now, it wasn't what they wanted. I mean, could you imagine eating manna every single day? Some people just love certain foods, right? I mean, I love what we call pilau. It's from the French. It's rice mixed up with peas and some vegetables, and it's browned down. I love it. But can I eat it every single day? I think not. God provided them with manna. They ate it every single day, and they complained. Right? God provided. He said, I gave you a land on which you did not toil, cities you did not build, and you lived in them and ate from their vineyards which you did not even plant. I mean, how much more blessed can a people be? Even after bringing them through the deserts, 40 years later, God gave them a land, provided them a land, fought their enemies, and still we have issues. We come to a time now where Joshua was now talking with the children of Israel, and he said, throw away the gods your fathers worshipped beyond the river. Now, we look at this and we might think, well, okay, I don't really have any gods, really. I mean, if you walk into my house, you don't see any statues hanging up there. You don't see any worship paraphernalia hanging there. you come to my yard, you're not going to see any chickens in the backyard with their heads cut off and that type, right? We don't do that. But you see, sometimes what happens is that we bring what I call baggage from the past, right? Grandma, the way grandma used to do things. Now, please, I have grandmas. I love them to death, but sometimes they're wrong, okay? Really, because grandma used to say things. You remember grandma? Grandma used to say things like, this is what she used to tell me. Don't go out at night because the boogeyman is going to get you. Right? And so what did I do? I didn't go out at night. I remember I was like 17 years old and I happened to be out at night one time. Right? And I'm walking down the street and I'm expect, how many West Indians in here? Okay. You got me? Because I'm walking down the street and I'm expecting Laja Bless. That's one of those other things that's supposed to scare you. Right? I'm expecting Laja Bless to come and get me at any minute. Because I'm 17 years old and I know it's not true. But because it's been embedded in my mind for 17 years, it had an effect on me. Right? And I'm wondering if, well, I'm not wondering, I dare to believe that quite a few of these things we've come along with that we believe and that we worship that our parents put on our hearts. Right? It says that, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable, now what does undesirable mean? It means like, well, it's not cool, right? You know, it's not cool to serve the Lord. Why? Because, you know, if these are my friends, right? And if they know that I'm a Christian, then they're not going to look at me the same. They're not going to invite me to their parties. I know it's all important to be popular. You know, I got the... You all got daughters, right? Can I pick on you again? You like to dress, right? Right? But we know that when Brittany is in her crowd, and... Brianna. We know when Brianna is in her crowd and she's all dressed up and she's not intimidated to say, well, you know, I'm a Christian. That's not the way I roll. But there are other people who I fear might just be doing that. Because in the workplace, what happens? Well, if I tell them that I'm a Christian, what's going to happen is they're going to look at me funny. Because there are some workplaces, I think I mentioned this before, where if you mention that you're a Christian, then automatically you become homophobic, right? They accuse you of being homophobic, right? You become intolerant. So therefore what happens is that, you know, it's best if I just stand back here and, you know, I fade into the background and nobody knows that I'm a Christian, right? You see, it's old-fashioned. It's undesirable because it's old-fashioned. I mean, people really believe those things today. I mean, in this modern age, people really believe that there's a God? No. Now, how many, there are a couple of people that are going off to college, some of you all in college already. Any college-bound or college-present people? Yeah. Oh, cool. You all probably hear what I'm about to say. You all probably heard it, and you're going to hear it also, right? You go to college, you're going to have a whole lot of theories out there, right? And one of the theories is that, well, you know, God really doesn't exist. What happens is that this is a figment of our imagination that we conjured up, right? Our culture has allowed us to conjure up these figments of our imagination so that we can have something that's higher than us that we can put hope in. And whenever you're in difficulties, you put hope in that, what does it do? It lifts your self-esteem, right? And because your self-esteem is now lifted, you are now placed in a better position where you can handle your own problems. And then the problems are handled, and that's what happens. And it's not really God that did that. You're going to hear that. Did you all hear that before? Right. You're going to hear things like this. So it is not a popular thing, even in this modern age. And as I said last week, you know, in this modern age, there's not really a need for God, is there? Because we have the grocery, okay? We have the dentist and we have doctors. We got lawyers. We don't really need God. So what happens now is that we sort of like, we take a look at this whole thing and we say, well, you know, God is undesirable right now. doesn't fit in with my lifestyle. Why? Because, you know, hey, I work hard all week, right? Nine to five, nine to seven, whatever the case is, I work hard all week. And Friday night, I got to do my thing, you know? I got to trot my stuff. And you know, if I believe in God and I admit that I'm a believer, then it sort of cramps my lifestyle, right? Because I want to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, and how I want to do it. Right? Doesn't really fit in. It's not the ideal thing. So what Joshua is saying here, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, right? He says, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Right? We always have choices. Adam and Eve had the same choice. Whom do you serve? When we look at our lives, you know, okay, I'm looking for a witness right now. Can I get a witness that God has done something in your life? Okay. Can I get a witness that God has done many things in your life? Amen? Amen. Clap it up. Right? The book of Hebrews comes to mind when we have so many witnesses. You're not the only one that God did things for, right? Did you study for that exam? No, you didn't. Be honest. But you prayed for it, okay? You prayed for it, and because of God's mercy, what happened? I don't know if you got an A, but you got enough to get by, right? Do we ever remember to go back and say, God, thank you? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. If you're like me, sometimes I forget, right? And it's like months after I said, oops, Dad, I'm sorry. Thank you, right? But the point is that, you know, we pray, God blesses us. God protects, he provides, okay? I mean, he goes out in front of you. Any of you all had a fight with someone? I don't mean physical. I mean, yes, you've had physical fights, right? You all are Christians. You never get into stuff like that, right? Ever had a confrontation, a boss or something, or a coworker, or a fellow Christian, right? That you needed to confront on an issue. And you're preparing for this confrontation. And hey, I'm the only one in here, right? Okay. And the anxiety builds up and you go and pray about it and say, God, you are my banner. Go out before me and you know, smooth the path so that when I come through, you know, everything is nice and clear. Can you do that for me, please? And then you go expecting this confrontation, and you walk up to the individual, not that I have a confrontation with you, I'm just using you as an example, right? So walk up to the individual, and then all of a sudden the person is so agreeable. And you've already planned all of the comebacks, all of the arguments that you're going to use to convince this person, and yet they say, yeah, you're right, I'm sorry. And it's like, what did I go through all of that for? Right? Those are things that God does. Those are God sightings. God moments, right? And what Joshua is saying is that he's done all of these things for you, Israel. What I'm saying is, you know, Shepherd's Community Church, I got it correct, right? Shepherd's Community Church, he's done all these things for you, right? Abraham had choices. Elijah, remember Elijah? Elijah said, listen, how long are you going to waver between these two opinions? If Baal be God, serve him. But if God be God, serve him. You see, quite often what happens is that we might look at our lives and think that, well, I'm serving God. Really, I am. And the question is, really? So hold that thought right there, right? He also says, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river, and again, we're coming back to those issues where there are gods that we served in the past, right? Or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. Okay, now I'm not saying that, please don't go out here, don't write headquarters and say that, you know, Pastor Barker says that America is modern day Amorite. Yeah. I'm just drawing a likeness, okay? Do we have gods that we serve in this country? Right. I know my opinion, of course, the biggest God that we serve is colored green. Okay? You all agree with me? Right? The biggest God that we serve in this country is colored green. And you see, what happens is that we have sort of like lost our way. Because what is happening is that we look at this green thing. Kids, you all know what I mean by green? Money, right? Money, right? We look at the money and we worship the money. What are you talking about? You don't know me like that. Okay. We choose money over God. Ooh, this is my second week here, right? Okay. We choose money over God, and I'll show you how. Hey, I did it too. Right? I hope I don't do it anymore. God says, Kenneth, you see that beggar on the street there? I want you to take that last $5 you have in your pocket, and I want you to give it to him. Heard it, clear as day. What did I do? No, I didn't give it. Why? Because I needed gas for my car so that I can go to work, right? You see, what I forgot is, who gave me the job? Who gave me the car? Who gave me the ability to work? At the end of the week, I'm going to have money, okay? At the end of the week, I'm going to have more green, right? But you know what? That person on the street may not be alive because I refused to give up the money. Now, that was a long time ago. It don't happen like that anymore, right? We choose, we make our choices. We choose to work those extra hours, right? God says, I need to talk to you, Kenneth. You see, I know this never happens to any of you, so it happens to me, so I'm talking about my story, okay? He says, Kenneth, I need to talk to you. Well, you know, God, I'm a little bit busy right now. I went to bed late last night. I got up early this morning, and I need to rush off to work. When I get to work, I'll praise you then. And you get to work, and what happens? All of a sudden, there's all this work to do, right? The boss puts this on your desk, this is due, and you got to do your regular work, and everybody's pulling you back and forth. And I say, okay, God understands, right? I put my work before God. It happens, right? It happens. I just want us to be aware of that, right? Self-indulgence, one of our gods, because I got to look good. And typically when we talk about self-indulgence, what we talk about is we are looking at the person who really goes way overboard, right? Got to have, instead of having a nice little Geo Metro, I like Geo Metros, right? You all know what a Geo Metro is? Okay. That was my car for a long time. I used to call it the anti-babe mobile. Ain't nobody walking up on me trying to get with me. Oh, sorry. But you all know what I'm talking about, okay? Self-indulgence. Do you really need all of that? I'm not saying that if you get it, that it's wrong. But the self-indulgence come where we put the thing before God, right? If God asked me to give it up, would I give it up? Or would I look at all of the hard work and all of the benefits that come from it? And surely God doesn't want me to give this up. Remember Abraham? After all of the years that God was speaking with Abraham and telling Abraham, I will give you a son. Then finally, God gave him a son of his old age. And then God says, okay, give him up. What did Abraham do? Abraham went and he says, you know, God, I waited too long for this son, right? I waited too long for this son. And I just, it can't be God doing that because God will not ask me to give up my son, my only son whom I love. God knows I love this son. And God knows that this is the son of promise. And there is no way under heaven or over hell that God is going to ask me to do something like that. That must be Satan. So I'm not going to listen. Is that what Abraham did? Is that what Abraham did? No, right? Abraham recognized that God was in charge. So sometimes God is going to ask us to do things that we are very uncomfortable with. Sometimes God is going to ask us to do things that we totally disagree with. I've had my disagreements with God. I said, God, I disagree, but you know, you're the boss. Right? Whatever you say, I don't understand right now, but sometime in the future, could you please help me to understand? Right? Those things do happen. But the thing is that what God asks for us is obedience. He didn't ask you to understand or to fully understand or appreciate or to fully be invested in what he's doing. He's asking you, trust me, right? Trust me. I know what I'm doing. And some people might be asking, okay, so why are we talking about this? How does this relate to our vision, right? The only reason I'm talking about this, people, is because there is going to come a time when we make choices, conscious choices for God, and then later on, you're going to start doubting. Why? Because if God told me to do this, and then I'm coming up on so much opposition, then did he really tell me to do that? Because, of course, if God tells me to do that, then it should be moving along pretty smoothly, shouldn't it? Right? Not always. Reality is that we have an enemy. Right? We have an enemy. He's a roaring tiger, right? And you know what? He is so smart, right, that he would make you believe left is right, right is left, up is down. He would even try to make you believe that God doesn't exist, right? And what happens as a result? As a result of that belief, you know, he got you. He got you. This is why in the beginning, we got to be sure, right? We got to know whom we serve. Right? And we got to know that God is never changing. He's the same yesterday, same today, same tomorrow. Some people say, but doesn't God change his mind? Okay, we'll get into that theological discussion another time, right? But God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. God told me, okay, Kenneth, this is what I want you to do, regardless as to the obstacles, regardless as to what outcomes might happen, this is what Kenneth needs to do, okay? So the question comes down to, what gods do we serve? Do we serve the gods of money, the gods of self and self-indulgence? Right? Or do we serve the God of safety? Right? You know, it's safe. Right within these walls, I mean, these walls are strong, concrete blocks, cinder blocks. We are safe inside here. So what we do is we come inside here and then we have a good old time, we fellowship. The fellowship is great. The food is great, right? Man, the food is great, right? The people are great. I mean, I look around here and I see people I've known for years. I've seen some people that I don't recognize anymore because when we left here, some of you all were down here. Now you all grown up and, sorry, you all grown, right? So basically, we have a group of people here that's a group of loving individuals, right? So there's a tendency for us to get comfortable. And I always tell my students that the moment that we feel comfortable, we stop growing. Right? What do the old people say? I say that and I smile. What do the old people say? Because I look back now and I'm thinking, the people who used to say that are my age. But what do the old people say? What don't kill you make you stronger, right? And you ain't dead yet, right? So you got to be stronger. Right? And if it is that you go through life and you don't experience stuff, right? This is exactly what I tell them. If you go through life and you don't experience stuff, and by stuff I don't mean that, oh, well, you know, I broke a nail and I can't afford my pedicure right now, okay? I can't pay for my iPhone. I talk about stuff, right? If you go through life and you don't go through stuff, you're weak. Really? Because what does the scripture say? I'm not saying this, okay? This is all in the scripture. I was admitting to someone yesterday that there are some people who would be able to tell me right off the bat what scripture that is. I can't. It's somewhere in here. Google it, right? It says, the trial of your faith works patience. Right? And what are the apostles, was it Paul or Timothy, one of them that says that, you know, count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials, right? And some people say that, how in the world am I supposed to be happy because I'm going through trials, right? How do you do that? Because the trial is upon me. Here it is. I'm faced with these bills. I got to pay these bills, and I'm supposed to be smiling, right? No. Hold on. Smiling is happiness. Smiling comes from the outside. Joy comes from the inside here, right? The reason we are able to count it all joy when we fall into diverse trials is because what happens? Two things. We come out of it stronger than we went in, because we will come out of it. Why? Because that's God's promise, right? He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you, right? So we come out of it stronger. And the second thing, as I say, and I always say, it really doesn't matter. Really doesn't matter how high the walls of that valley is. It doesn't matter what's in the valley. It doesn't matter how rocky the bed of the valley is. It doesn't matter how dark the valley is. And yet, though I walk through that valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Brianna. Because God is with me, right? I am walking through that valley. God is with me, hand in hand. And what is God telling me? He's telling me, look at me. Look at me. Focus on me. Don't look down, don't look back, don't look around. Just focus on me, and I will take you through that valley. I will take you through that valley of the shadow of death, and you will not fear any evil. Why? Because I'm with you. I got your back, right? I got your back. And why? That's the way I roll, okay? Is God a good God? Is God a good God? Right. So, why do I bring this up? Why? Simply because we are about to enter into that valley, right? Because God is saying, you know what? Went through that valley. There are some of my children that's still in that valley, right? Because I was walking through the valley of the shadow of death with them, and they let go my hand, right? I was walking through the valley of the shadow of death with them, and they took their eyes off of me. They started looking at the walls. They started looking at the darkness. They started looking at the enemy. They got too focused on the enemy and are trying to address the enemy by themselves. And what happens now is that they let go my hand. And I need you, Shepherd's Community Church, I need you to go into that valley and to bring them out. Amen. Right? I need you to go into that valley and tell them that, listen, God is still with you. I need you to go into that valley and tell them that, you know what? Look at me, right? Follow me as I follow Christ. That's what I need you to do. Amen. Why am I having this chat with you? We are about to go into that valley, people, right? God has a lot of people in that valley, right? And the only reason that we can go through that valley, well, two reasons. One, been there before. Anyone been through trials? Right? Anybody came out of the trials okay? I mean, you're a bit beaten up, a bit bruised, you know? But, you know, you shake the dust off and you move on. Why? Because we always remember that he who is in me is greater than he who is in the world, right? And because of that, we have that blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, perfect. Okay, come, Lisa. Lost in his love, this is my story, this is my God, Almighty Father, thank you. Thank you, great God in heaven, for such a crowd of witnesses that love you, great God, that worship you, great God, and that sit at your feet. So we thank you, great God in heaven, that you have afforded us this opportunity to come alongside you to do the work, to get down into that valley, to get down and dirty, Father, so that you can be glorified, so that people can know that you are God and that there is none else. So we praise you, God, we honor you, and we lift your name on high in the name and by the authority of your Son, Jesus the Christ. And all of God's people said, amen, amen.